Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Woke Bros. Of course, I'm your co-host, Big Waz, a.k.a. Wazzy Lambre, and I'm joined by my brother on the West Side, fresh off of my birthday extravaganza, man. Nando Vila, what's up, man? Welcome back.
Feeling good. You know, the hangover is worn off, but it was good. Great. It was a fun one. little rooftop in Santa Monica, nice little view. It was good.
That's right. Right on the beach. Shout outs to our brother, our comrade, Daniel Bessner. He's about to be a new dad soon here in a few months. He was able to sneak out the crib and come through. Anna Kasparian of TYT, young legend that she is. All kinds of people from the political left, man, just pulled up to the birthday party. Yeah. That's how we do it on the left. Solidarity, you know what I'm saying? Hell, we party together.
Hell yeah. That's how you change the world. You know?
Exactly, through partying together. On today's show, man, look, this story is a little bit old, but it happened last week after our show, and I just feel like we have to touch on it, and that's the China balloon and the just absolute shitstorm it caused on the right and the stupid responses from the from liberals or whatever. Just a hilarious story from top to bottom, but also, you know, sort of indicative of where the winds are blowing when it comes to the reactionary, hawkish elements of our power elite. I just wanted to touch on that story just to keep you guys updated if you weren't paying attention to it. But of course, we're taping this on Wednesday afternoon, the day after President Brandon Joe Biden's State of the Union address. He came out in pretty muscular fascist fashion, Nando. I thought it was interesting because it was like more campaign rally speech than State of the Union, which kind of shows you that Biden understands that he has to be in campaign mode from now until, you know, November of next year, which is just crazy to say. Like, we're going to be doing this shit in exactly a year from now. Like a literal campaign, which is wild. But yeah, I thought it was interesting that he hit on Social Security and Medicare, which you and I both know that's a winner, right? We know Republicans have been wanting to gut this thing since the day that it was invented. And it's one of the most popular American, both of them are two of the most popular, if not the two most popular American programs in existence, and has always been a sort of hot button topic. Like, you go near it, you die electorally. Like, people will have your head for their Medicare. They will have your head for their Social Security. I thought it was interesting that he sort of baited these guys into, you know, being ravenous, just foaming at the mouth idiots, even over something as simple as Social Security. Then, you know, he gets into his bread and butter. He gets into his, I'm Joe Biden, I've been doing this since the 70s kind of stuff. Like, we're about to come build some roads. We're going to build some bridges. I'm going to come, you know, we're going to come to break ground on these new projects. Like, this old school, you know, sort of bread and butter politician, Joe Biden, that he comes from. So I thought that was interesting. But mainly, honestly, Nando, for the spectacle of it, I was reminded of something that you told me after the midterms, was just like, some of these Republicans are so absolutely fucking insane that they make like even the Democrats look decent by comparison.
Yeah. Well, especially a Democratic Party led by Joe Biden, right? Because he's such a normie. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's what struck me. Because the thing about Joe Biden is that he's the fucking president, but we never see him because, you know, he's old and he slips up and they don't let him out there often. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They don't let him fucking take the girl out to the dance. Yeah, he's like, put me in, coach, and they're like, no goddamn way. You know, like, you are a pinch runner, you know, just in very specific instances. But so I forget about him. I just forget, like, what he is when he goes in full politician mode. And the thing about Biden is that he is he's a savvier politician than people give him credit for, mostly because of what you're talking about, that he came from an era before, like, all these people got all fucking smart about shit.
And professionalized, you know what I mean? Yes. Before it got corporatized and professionalized from consultants and that consultant class, who basically, they run every single utterance that these people say in public. Like, he comes from a school of Democrat that's before that corporate Clinton DCCC sort of takeover of the party.
Yeah. And it, like, you know, if the irony is that these professionals who are like supposed to be, what they do is by definition remove you from the populace. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking at them. You know what I mean? Yep. You're not. You're like
focus,
you're treating them like
to death.
Yeah,
all of your
exactly.
messaging. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Biden just does kind of have that ability to be like, oh, I was talking to some guy the other day, and he was telling me, like, you know,
when I, he's the fact like, that he still calls people Jack.
Yeah. And that shit, like, you know, he pulls that off because all the other politicians do that. They can't pull it off because it's so
true.
Obviously fake.
It's condescension. Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. condescension. And he's just like, he's actually like, yeah. You know, this probably did happen to him. You know, I believe it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so there's that. I mean, there's his kind of his campaign savviness as a politician. Someone tweeted out, and I agree with it 100%. Is that one of the reasons why the Democrats don't have like a quote unquote bench? You know what I mean? And why someone like Kamala is like comically unpopular, and you know, all the Democrats are freaking out and want to replace her. The problem is they can't replace her with anyone because they just don't have anyone else, is because all of these younger Democrats are essentially too online and too at the forefront of whatever like discourse things are. Like, you read some tweets from some of these younger politicians, and like they just don't make any sense. They don't have that kind of plain spokenness. And Biden, the tweet said that, you know, the reason why Biden is so appealing to so many people and why he's kind of resilient in these things is because he's exactly like three steps behind the times, but in a charming kind of non-offensive way. You know what I mean? Like, he's just like trying to figure it out, you know, like, he's
yeah,
not like,
no,
but I love the blacks and the gays and you know, but I don't know that I'm supposed to call them, you know,
and
you
know what I mean? Exactly. 100%. And I think what you're speaking to is what got us so excited about John Fetterman is this idea that he doesn't come off as focused, grouped into oblivion. Yeah. He doesn't come off with this annoying, you know, come from academia, come from the nonprofits, come from, you know, the corporate class, that nasty, annoying sheen. He doesn't have that stink on him. Yeah, these young guys, they are just focus grouped and online to death. You know, I was just thinking about it too. I was like, could you imagine like Pete Buttigieg in like a union hall? Or for real though, like actually hanging out with those kinds of people. You know, actually hanging out with, you know, American Legion
or John
at one of those
Ossoff
spots.
Or any like, of these guys, you know? You
no
know?
Shot. No
they
shot.
Just don't feel like, they feel like no robots. Shot. They feel like.
And you know what? I like Warnock. I like that he's black and like, he's like, even though he's, you know, he's really educated and all that, he at least seems kind of like a normal black person.
Yeah.
Do you feel me? And, you know, I think being Southern really helps. I don't think, like a Hawk Jeffries, like, bro, no, nobody's going for that, bro. Nobody's going for Hawk Jeffries if he wants to someday be like, oh, I'm going to supplant Schumer as, you know, this guy in the Senate from New York. Like, bro, nobody wants you nationally. And so you wonder what they do. And that's the main thing from watching it, Nando, is like, man, Biden is their best shot.
It's crazy.
And it's not even close.
He's just 200 years old.
Close.
And like his brain is failing him. But even with that, he's just far and away better than at like the politics, you know, like at the actual like, you know.
Not that he has good politics. God knows we don't really love Joe Biden's politics. But like the game, the job of being a public figure / politician, he's just so much better than it, than who they got. And then the Kamala Harris thing, the way they throwing this woman under the bus, you know, and all of those like Politico, where they do that, where they start their whisper campaigns, the way they are just absolutely trashing Kamala Harris, who they anointed. Nobody asked for this. They picked her and her 3% freaking polling, and was like, well, she, you know, she checks off the black, the Asian, the woman part. She's pretty attractive. Like, yeah, she checks off these boxes, paying no attention to just how much of a train wreck her actual campaign was, how much of a train wreck she is as a public speaker, and just has no charisma whatsoever. Then now that they've started their whisper campaign, like, bro, she hasn't stepped up to the plate. Bro, she stunk up the joint in the primary. Yeah. It's not like she was, you know, second or third and it was just like, oh, Kamala almost had it. It's like you guys basically hand-selected her to be the second most popular Democrat just by default from her job by the time 2024 came, and now you're saying it's a disaster.
It's just funny that, I mean, so part of me thinks that Biden picked her because she was so terrible, you know? Yeah, because he knew that, I mean, maybe he's not that smart, but the real Machiavellian move would be to pick someone terrible as your VP. This was like, by the way, this was conventional wisdom. You did this back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't want someone overshadowing you. You didn't want someone, you know, especially Biden, knowing that he's so fucking old, that it was just inevitably, even during the first, you know, in his first run, there was like talk like, what if he committed to only doing one term? And I was like, get the fuck out of here. No one does that. Get the fuck out of here. He wants to be the fucking president. And so like, he knew that if he picked some like stud, someone amazing that people fucking loved, there would be a drumbeat right now to replace him with the VP. But because she's so fucking awful, no one's doing that.
Yeah, and it wouldn't. And by the way, it wouldn't be hard to get the money behind this vice president if they were any good. Like, the money would get behind it, the establishment. But then you wonder, Nando, if they would or could actually do this. When you look at somebody like Feinstein here in California, where it's just like, how is that allowed to just... Like, how in the world is that allowed to just continue in the way that it's continued? So you wonder, but yeah, like, Kamala's just been a complete lightweight. And yeah, Joe Biden did his job, which is to explain to people, like, I'm the best you got. I'm the best option, especially if, you know, these Republicans are just going to continue to be as rabid as they are. I am the most sane person that exists. And so, yeah, I think he did that job with that. I think back in the days, and Nando, you can correct me if I'm wrong, like the State of the Union address was like where the president would like calm the nation down about the job that he may or may not be doing well. Whereas this was just straight up a campaign speech, straight up and down. And it's probably warranted when you consider the state of his regime and all the things that they've been through. And if unless you have anything else to add,
well, I do have one thing to add. Trump was live tweeting State of the Union. Come on, how could you leave this up? Dude, we don't have Trump on Twitter no more, which is a real fucking shame. But he was on Truth Social, and I just decided, let me see what, because I saw like some tweets about it, and he was weirdly like, he was tweeting about it like it was like he was watching a football game. And you know what, the feeling that I had watching him, you know, like watching his tweets reacting to the State of the Union, was that he actually likes Biden. Like, look at this tweet. Look at this tweet from Trump. Like, he likes him, you know? Like, everyone likes Biden. You know, that's the thing, is like, no one, when these Republicans are like, this is the most awful,
or at least nobody hates,
no one really
him.
Hates him, you know. Let me find it. Okay, here's his tweet. Look, he worked hard tonight. It's not a natural thing for him. It never was and never will be. But you've got to give him credit for trying. I disagree with him on most of his policies, but he put into words what he felt. And he ended up the evening far stronger than he began. Give him credit for that. Many things weren't mentioned that should have been, but that's for another time. I've done a little clip. Perhaps you'd like to watch it. Good night, everybody, and God bless America. So that was like his reaction to Biden. You know, like, by Trump standards, he's being like, you know, he's being nice to him. He likes him.
It's pathetic. Okay. It's fucking.
Yeah. Okay. Nancy Pelosi and. So Nancy Pelosi and Liz Warren, on the other hand, he does not like them. This is what he said about Nancy Pelosi. He goes, Kevin McCarthy is looking really good. His demeanor is perfect. He's not a crazed lunatic like Nancy Pelosi that illegally rips up State of the Union speeches, and he's more and more fitting beautifully into the role as Speaker of the House. And his tweet about Liz Warren, just let me go. Pocahontas is really going wild tonight. She almost has to be constrained. The only thing that will do it is the straitjacket.
Dude, so when you sent me the screen capture of his truth tweet or whatever, what do they call truth socials? Truths, right? Of one of his truths. I'm like, Pocahontas, like, is he talking about Nikki Haley? Like, I forgot about Liz Warren and the whole lying about being of Native American descent. And I'm just like, yo, this guy, say what you will about him, but his instinct for playing the dozens or cracking jokes or bullying or whatever you want to call it, it's just second to none. It's just absolutely second to none. And it just reminds me of my upbringing in New York. Like, yes, I could hear somebody call referring to Liz Warren as Pocahontas from now and forever. And like, it's just such like typical Northeast humor. And just cutting and biting is so ridiculous. It's what his ultimate gift is. And it's crazy. But yeah, that like you just couldn't imagine the thing that he said about Joe Biden, him saying something like that about Obama after a speech. Like he just would never do that. He just has a whatever. He just has a soft spot for crazy Uncle Joe, Sleepy Joe, which, if you guys haven't checked out the State of the Union, go check it out. Let's get to the
hello listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
The China balloon, because we've mentioned it a decent amount of times here on the show, but like, you know, these, when you think about the national security, quote unquote, apparatus that exists, or the blob, or whatever you call the entrenched bureaucratic structure of the American state, these guys understand that, like, there's no real justification for their existence as it currently is. $1 trillion a year, per year, on their budget, right? That's what we mean by as it exists right now. And all the people that are eating and drinking off of that $1 trillion government tit, like, they have to justify that existence with something. Who are you fighting? Who are you saving us from? Who are you protecting us from? Who are you, like, what is the point of this shit? When nobody's military comes close to spending size, scale, what is the point of doing this year after year? Why are we doing this? So constantly they get their cronies in the media and in the government to peddle, you know, fearful shit about places like Russia, you know, during the Cold War. And then after that, we had to do, you know, the terrorism crock that lasted 20 years. And then now it's China. Right.
Yeah.
China is the big bad boogeyman that's coming to hurt us all, which again, and I realize I'm being long-winded here. Like, back when we were fighting the Soviets, it was this idea that they were going to – which people need to understand this. Like, it's never – it was never said explicitly, but essentially we're fighting all these wars because the Soviets are going to turn all these places commie, which then all these places are going to become – they're going to run their economics as state-run. And so, therefore, American businesses can't go into their countries and make money. That's the literal reason for being of the Cold War. This idea that places can't turn commie because American business interests won't be able to go places abroad and extract resources from places that aren't America. That's literally the framework of why we did it. When they sell it to us in the public, it's like, oh, these people don't like blue jeans and this, and they're going to take our freedoms away and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But the reality is, when a country becomes allegedly communistic and state run, it's that outside interests don't get to extract value from whatever is valuable within that nation or state, right? Like, that's the whole issue that we have with communism. That's it. It's that our business interests, corporate interests, our overlords can't go out and extract the value outside of our own country. That's it. Yep. They can't go out and do business, right? And so when you realize that was the reason for the Cold War, and like China is like, we are China. We're already making money there. We're already like, our economies are so tied in inextricably to China. Like, what are we fighting China over? And like, what is this war even about? You know, so that's what I want folks to think about whenever you're watching this crock on TV or you hear a politician or somebody say, China's gonna come get us. And do what? And do what? And then the number one thing that I need folks to understand too about this, about some quote unquote war with China, we couldn't beat the Taliban.
Yeah.
We couldn't beat the Taliban. We did not beat the Taliban. The fucking Taliban. A bunch of dudes in pickup trucks in Afghanistan, old ass pickup trucks with some, you know, some AKs and whatnot. We couldn't beat them. When you compare the resources at those guys' disposal as compared to us, we could not displace the Taliban. We're going to go up against the Chinese Communist Party? It's the height of lunacy, Nando. And enter this stupid balloon where, you know, people are going to try to get you to think that China's spying on us because China needs this decrepit balloon to spy on us on our shorelines. Like, they don't have Google Maps. It's just like, what are we doing with this, dude?
I mean, and I don't – I mean, they probably were. It probably is a spy balloon. Like, yeah, and but who cares? You know what I mean? Yeah, like that's the thing. Is like, they're all spying on each other all the time. Like, the Chinese know that we're spying on them, and we know that they're spying on us, and that's just fucking par for the course. Like, that was the same thing in the Cold War during the Soviet Union. They all knew. They knew everything that was going on in there. You know what I mean? It's not. It's almost like a mutually assured surveillance. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's kind of the prevailing thing. And you know what you say about China, it's like the Cold War with China has really started, you know, conveniently after the war on terror lost its juice, but also you know, when things like, for example, China closed the door to Hollywood, you know? China closed the door to Hollywood. They're like, no.
We make our own movies. We know how to entertain our people. Yeah. We don't need your shit anymore.
We don't need your shit. And that, or when all of a sudden it started, you know, getting ahead in 5G and things like that. So like, you're 100% right that at the, you know, underneath it all is it's, they're just mad about that. We don't get to, you know, make money off of the Chinese no more. But yeah, I mean, the balloon was hilarious because people these days, in an era when politics is stopped and an era when nothing really kind of happens, at least like in America, right? Like in the, you know, obviously shit happened in Ukraine and, you know, shit happens all over the world, but like in America, everything is kind of static. And we're just kind of in this stuck phase. people are desperate for some fun fucking action, dude. They want some action. They want to feel like back in the day, like the Cuban Missile, like, you know, shit was happening. You know, shit was happening. They, like, history was happening. And here we're just kind of stuck in this perpetual loop. And, you know, the balloon comes along and it's obviously fucking inoffensive and who gives a shit? And, like, what are they actually spying on? Oh, Montana, you know, like, what the fuck? Who gives a shit? But they just want, like, they want to cosplay as, like, oh, it's like, well, sir, will the president, you know, like, will the president react to this threat, sir? You know, like, what is he going to do? And then they fucking send the fighter jet, you know, to blow up the balloon and they can act all tough. And then all the conservatives are posting pictures of their AR-15s. Like, I will personally shoot down this balloon, you know? And it's like, get the fuck out of here. You guys are just cosplaying your own little bullshit movie that no one gives a shit about. Like, get out of here.
It's hilarious. And, you know, and I want to get out of here on this so that people understand what the hell we be talking about, right? You pointed out, like, there was the right wing sort of crazy hawkish response. And the libs, their response isn't what me and Nando just explained to you, that if you think Vietnam was a disaster, you think the war in Iraq and Afghanistan were disasters, you have no earthly fucking idea how disastrous an actual war with actual China would be. It would be a complete and utter failure and disaster. Like there's no other way to put it, right? But that's not what the liberals are going to tell you. Because guess what? Quiet is kept. They are just as in line and lockstep with the hawkish ideas and mentality that come out of DC national security establishment. So what do they come out and say, Nando? It happened 3 times during Trump. That's their response to right-wing, yes, right-wing frothing at the mouth craziness. It's not, yo, folks, calm down. You know, perpetuating the idea that a war with China would be prudent or would benefit the American people is dangerous and stupid, and we should be doing everything we can to avoid something like that. It'd be catastrophic. Instead of that, the liberal response is, well, actually, it happened 3 times during Trump. And that's all you need to know about this shit, the China balloon. It's a fucking joke. We can't go to war against China. We get our asses kicked.
Dude, they already kicked our ass in Korea. Like, no one knows about this. You know, the Korean War wasn't against just Koreans. Like, we got to the border with China, and China was like, fuck this, and they invaded from the north, and they fucking spanked the U.S. around, pushed them all the way back to the 38th parallel. Like, the 38th parallel is there now because that's where the stalemate happened after the Chinese drove them back all the way from the Chinese border. Like, these are wily people, man. They were fighting for a long, long time. You know, massive civil wars and shit like that. Like, they're hardened fucking dudes. You don't want to fuck with them. And plus, there's over 1 billion more of them than there are of us.
Let's just put this China thing to bed. They wouldn't want to invade us either, right? Like, they don't want to stop the great thing that they got. CCP, you know, COVID has kind of put a dent in what they were trying, like, their stronghold, in that, like, there's been so much more dissent and uprising because of how they've handled COVID over there. But, like, bruh, this would completely, completely derail their operations. Like, it just doesn't make sense for anybody. And so I just like everybody who's listening to keep that in mind all the time. Anyway, that's our show for today. Make sure you become a Patreon at patreon.com/countthedings for a cup of Starbucks per month. Support the content we're doing up here. Support every single other Count the Dings offering we got. We'll see you guys next week. Peace out.